Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, let's start in prayer. Father, we love you so much, and you've given us the opportunity to spend all eternity magnifying you and loving on you, but we take this time to tell you that you're the most important thing in our life, Father. Yes. We know we love one another, and we love our relatives, our children, our parents, and our wives and our husbands, but we love you the most, Lord. We put you first. And because we put you first, you put us first. You loved us, and that's what gave us the ability to love you back. Now, Father, we thank you for everything that's been said and done up until this point in these meetings. But we're just not satisfied, Father. Yes. We want you to put your words in my mouth tonight. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, Father. May everything I say and do be according to your will. And thank you for all the wonderful things, the healings and miracles that have taken place thus far. And we thank you that you continue to work tonight. And we thank you for that name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you paid such a great price to give us the authority in your name. And for all of these things, we praise you and magnify you. And all the saints said,
Amen.
JJ didn't know what I was going to minister on tonight. He was really being led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to talk to you about faith and authority. You know, really, faith and authority go hand in hand. If you're operating in faith, you're operating in the authority that God has given us by the power that's in his word. And that name, the name of Jesus, it's above every name. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Amen.
I said the name of Jesus is above every name. It's above the name of fear. It's above the name of pain. It's above the name of sickness.
Amen.
It's above the name of lack. That name, oh my goodness. But I don't believe we use it enough. Come on now. I don't believe we use it enough. There is no realm that we encounter that the name of Jesus doesn't have authority over.
That's right.
But really, in order to operate in this God kind of faith, you have to operate in the authority. Because really, okay, we know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? Okay, so what we've done is we've submitted ourselves to the word. We're given the word final authority in our life, and that enables us to receive all that God has for us. But it enables us to do what God said we could do, just like I was ministering Sunday. I mean, my goodness, all the things that are available to us and all the things that we can do, all the situations that we can take care of, just because we have faith in the authority of the name of Jesus and the authority of the Word of God. Let's look at a story where Jesus heals this centurion's servant. In Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read it in verse 5 through 10. But you know, you can read the story again also in Luke chapter 7 and 1 through 10. You know, a lot of these gospel writers, one will see one side of the story and another see the other side of the story and all these different translations. I just love studying the Bible and the Word of God. Brother Hagin used to say, he says, you know, you can go up one side of the mountain and one person might say, well, it's all rocky and it's all scrubby and it's inhabitable. But you can go around the other side of that mountain and it's all grassy and beautiful and everything. So all of these different authors, gospel writers, they have their viewpoint. Right. And it really tells the whole story. But we're going to look at this in Matthew chapter 8. Now, first I want to point out, this guy is a centurion. You might say, what's a centurion? I'm glad you asked. A centurion is a Roman captain, and he's over at least 100 men. And now it said, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented, And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. You know, Jesus is the walking, talking will of God.
Amen.
And when we talk about authority, there's also, well, I'll get to that in a minute. There's submission and authority in the kingdom of God. And a lot of people don't understand it. I'll point out more of that. But Jesus said, I will come and heal him. That's the will of God. You know, if we went to the Lord on behalf of our neighbor, what's his answer going to be? I'll come and heal him. Actually, he's already done it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world, but by his stripes, we were healed. Not going to be healed. We were healed. It's already finished. So he says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. What a revelation. I mean, this guy wasn't even, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't one of God's children, but he understood authority. And he said, notice what Jesus said. I also am a man under authority. Jesus, notice what Jesus said. He says, oh, I'm a man of authority. I got it. He said under.
Right.
Under authority. Whose authority is he under? He's under God's authority. All the time Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do.
Yeah.
It's the Father in me. He does the works. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. My goodness, Angela and I, many years ago, had an opportunity to go to what they think the Garden of Gethsemane is, and it hit me.
Yeah.
The greatest act of submission that has ever taken place on this earth was right there in that garden.
Yeah.
Jesus could have said, you know, this is just too much, Dad. I just don't think I can handle this. I don't think I'm going to do it. I love you, but I am not going through this. But what did he do? Nevertheless, three times he went to the Father. He said, you know, hey, if there's any other way, I'd sure like to do it.
Yeah.
But not my will, your will. What is that? That's submission.
Yeah.
See, and you know, there was a group of people that brought in this false submission. And it was really about like the pastor. You can't do anything in the church unless the pastor gives you permission. You can't get married. You got to drive the kind of car he tells you. That's false submission.
Yeah.
Submission is upward.
Yeah.
Submission never works downward.
Right.
Your pastor can't force anything on you.
Right.
Let me just kind of give you a little tip here, because we pastored. We would have people come to us and they'd say, Pastor Larry, Pastor Angela, God told me this. What do you think about it? Well, they shut the door. Because what am I going to tell them? If I sense that it wasn't God's will for them to do that, if I tell them, I don't believe that's God's will, I'm either telling them God's lying or you're missing it. So we'd always tell our people to come to us and say, you know, this has been stirring in me, and I think maybe God is telling me to do this, or what do you think about it? Then that opened the door for the gift that's on the inside of me, inside of your pastor, to give godly counsel. I don't know who that's for, but it's good anyway. You know, because God said in the church, the fivefold ministry gift. And thank God for all of the five, but when it comes to the local church, the pastor's the boss. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The pastor's the boss. God put him in here, and even if we come in here, and if I find out he's teaching something a little different than me, or if he told me, well, Brother Larry, I think I see things a little different than that, you know what I'd do? I'd get up and change what I thought. Because he's the pastor. When I come in here, I submit to him. What we want to do is just add to what he's already taught you. We want to confirm what he has taught you because God wants us to work together.
Amen.
Even my own church in Poland and in Czech Republic, there's young men that we trained up. They're pastoring those churches now. I would not go in there, even though we pioneered it. We were the apostles of that church. I wouldn't go in there and tell them, you know, they were doing something wrong unless they asked me. See, because my authority, our authority that was there, we've passed it on to them. They're in charge now. I'm not. Paul corrected a lot of people, but it was because they would come to him and ask him. So anyway, Jesus said, I am a man under authority. Submission always has to be upward. It can never operate downward. It can't be forced on people. You can't force people. You know, I'd have liked for Sunday morning, for everybody that was in here Sunday morning to be here at all the services. But I can't make them. You know, I try to encourage them with a football example. But anyway, sometimes us pastors, our leaders, we'd just like to open people's heads and pour the knowledge and wisdom that God has given to us. But we can't do that. The only thing we can do is teach, is do what I'm doing tonight. Give you the word of God, and then it's up to you. You know, because God wouldn't force anything on you. What's the most important thing for any of us?
Salvation, the new birth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
But would he make you get saved?
No.
No, he'll do everything within his power to get somebody to you or get a message to you or a book to you or however how you got saved. He will work when people do what he's asked, when we pray. We pray for people, we pray for laborers, then God authorizes people to go to them, but he won't make them get saved. Ultimately, God, probably the greatest heartache that God has ever experienced is giving man a free will.
Absolutely.
And also the greatest joy.
Pardon?
I said, and also the greatest joy.
And also the greatest joy, because he wants us to willfully serve him. I said he wants us to willfully serve him. He wants us to willfully submit ourselves to his will, just like Jesus said. And that is the greatest reward that our Father gets when we say, Father, you know, I'm not really fond about doing this, but not my will, your will. I don't know if I said that from the pulpit, but we've got a bumper sticker in Alabama when I was growing up. And it said, attend the church of your choice. You know, that's backwards. You ought to be attending the church that God tells you to go to. Come on now. Find out where God wants you to be and plant yourself there. And be submitted there and be helpful there and don't cause any problems.
Amen?
Amen. Let me read this to you. I'll go back and read it again. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. See, he understood the power of Jesus' words.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, I also am a man under authority. Now the passage translation says it this way. I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority. Wow. Jesus said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under, not Jesus, but the centurion said that. He said, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So this man, he understood how Jesus operated.
Yes.
He understood that Jesus had submitted himself to the will of the Father, and that's the way this centurion looked at things. He just because he was over 100 men or so, he was submitted upward.
Right.
And when he submitted upward, then authority works properly downward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you see that? I said, when we submit ourselves upward, then our authority downward and outward. If you're a business owner, you know, if you're submitted to God, then you can expect those under you to do what you ask them to do. And you know, we never demanded anything of our people. We used to tell our young men, there was two couples that helped us in Poland, and we tell them, we expect you to do anything we ask you to do unless it's immoral, illegal, or unscriptural. See, because we've been placed in that place of authority, and if we tell them to do something wrong, then it's on us. But if they don't do what we tell them to do, unless it's illegal, immoral, and unscriptural, then they're wrong. But anyway, see, it's a line of authority. And God is at the top, and then Jesus is under him. And just think about this. Then you got the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? He will remind you of the things that I said. He'll bring to your remembrance the things that I said. So Jesus is submitted to the Father, and then the Holy Ghost is submitted to Jesus. We can see authority in the Godhead. And this man understood, because he understood authority, he understood how Jesus operated. So he says, verse 10, Jesus heard it, and he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found so great faith, not even in Israel. So can you see the correlation or the comparison of faith and authority in this scripture? It was according to the word of God, but then again, it was submission to the word of God. See, submission to the word of God's the only thing that's going to change us. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Submission to the word of God is the only thing that's going to change us. Now, if your pastor went haywire and started teaching heresy or something, then you need to pray and ask God where he wants you to go next. But he's not going to do that. We always told our students and our church members, we don't expect you to believe anything we say unless we can show it to you in the Word of God. Right. See, because if I can show it to you in the Word of God and you can act on it, then you'll be in that place of authority that the Word has given you, and you can have exactly what the Word says you can have. You can do exactly what the Word says you can do, and you'll find out who you really are. I said this Sunday morning, we're not old sinners saved by grace. Amen. We were old sinners, but now we are the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. I had to get rid of that stinking thinking because of all the people that I hurt when I was dealing drugs and stuff. Found out some of them died because of the drugs. I had an aunt that came to the prison that I was in, and on the way back home, she had an accident and ended up dying. And man, it took me a long time to get over that. But after I got saved, I found out who I was and that God had forgiven me for that. And then later on, I found out that a denominational minister had gotten to her, and I believe she got saved. Because I told God, I'm going to go to the graveyard and raise her from the dead. And he said, she's in heaven with me. That's how radical I was when I got a hold of this in the beginning. Because I saw what God did for me when I submitted myself to the authority of the Word. Amen. I mean, that David showed me so many things in the Word of God I'd not heard in the denominational church. The only time I ever heard about the Holy Spirit was when they baptized folks. But when he showed me the Word of God, and I prayed a simple prayer and asked Jesus to forgive me and come back into my life, because I'd got born again at 12, 13 years old. When I said, Lord, come back into my life, be my Lord and Savior again. You know, I don't know how far you can go and lose your salvation, but I believe it's possible, because it's walking with God. Yes, amen. And I did so many things for so many years, but anyway, and then I said, Lord, I want everything that he showed me in your word. And when I heard that, the Holy Spirit came on me. I knew I was delivered from drugs. I never had to go back to a drug program. And two or three days later, I found out I was healed because I quit taking Tums and Tylenol. I couldn't eat without taking Tums all the time, and I had headaches constantly, and I got totally delivered of that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then began to speak in other tongues, glory be to God. But it was because I submitted to the Word of God. When we submit to the Word of God and act like God tells us to act, and then I began to renew my mind to the Word of God, and I got a hold of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It didn't say he's an old creep.
Amen.
It says he's a new creature.
Amen.
Something that never before existed.
That's right.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you don't have a past in God. And even if you do mess up after you get saved, thank God for 1 John 1:9. That scripture is written to the church regardless of what some big shot says it is.
Amen. Amen.
That's all I'm going to say about that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all. All. How much is all? All is all. All unrighteousness. And then I went on to verse 21 of 2 Corinthians. This is not in my notes. I'm way out behind my notes now. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He that knew no sin, Jesus that knew no sin, was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I'm the righteousness of God. You're a righteousness of God. You're the child of God. See, because if you see yourself as a sinner, you're not going to walk in the authority that Jesus has given you.
Right.
You won't hold your head up and cock your shoulders back and walk the walk and talk the talk. You'll always be just, oh, I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. Yes, you do know. Yes, you do know. If you read the Word of God and you pray in tongues and you submit yourself to the Word, you submit yourself to a good pastor, you're going to know. That's why God brought you here, so he can teach you. And there's a gift in him, there's a gift in us, and you know what? That gift don't work for us to live our life. That gift is for your sake. I wish I could live by the gift. But I can't. I have to live by what I teach you. Walk it out. Live it out. And we have stuff happen to us. You know, we're not exempt of the devil attacking us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said if he strikes the shepherd, then the sheep scatter. A lot of times when you commit to go into the ministry, you got a target on your back. But guess what? He's right there. The devil's right there. And I'm going to keep him there with my words and the name of Jesus. Sickness can't stay in my body. Lack can't stay in my body. I've got the victory. That's what the Bible says, and that's where I'm going to live. No, I'm not always on the top. I don't always have everything I want, but you don't either. You know, I mean, we slip up and do dumb stuff. I say we have temporary periods of stupidity. But I repent, get over it, and go on with God and forget about it. Forget about it. See, you cannot stay in your past if you have a temporary period of stupidity. I don't care how bad it is. If you live back there, you'll never go forward in God. I don't care how many people. My mama used to tell me, well, after I got saved, I'm living back at home with her, and she didn't understand. She hadn't got saved yet. And there was a warrant out for me, and I was going to spend 25 to life in the penitentiary again. And she kept telling me, Larry, the police going to come get you. And they're going to throw you back in the penitentiary. And that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. But I'd already prayed. I'd already prayed, and I was believing God that He was going to do something to that warrant, and He did. About 3 months after I had that experience with Jesus and all that stuff happened to me on July 6, 1983, He told me to go get my driver's license, and I went and got my driver's license, and I passed a written test, and the lady sheriff had looked at my all the stuff I'd done on the computer, and she said, you were a stinker, weren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am, I was, but now Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I'm living for Him. And she handed that piece of paper, and she said, now go take your driving test. All that warrant that was out for me that was going to put me in a penitentiary the rest of my life was dissolved because I had submitted myself to God. I had submitted myself to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I began to study the Word of God.
Praise God. Amen.
And get rid of this mountain that was between my ears. You know, if you've got a child and he's 3 years old or 2 years old and he does something in his diaper, you don't think much about it, do you? But that child gets about 10 or 12 and he's still doing stuff in his pants, you think something's wrong. We got a lot of Christians that have been in the Lord for years and years and years and they're still doing stuff in their britches. Why? Because they don't understand the authority of the Word and the authority and the place that God has put them in the body of Christ. See, it's time for us, the church, to take back what the devil's trying to do to this nation.
Amen.
We're the only ones that have authority in this world. The politicians may think they have authority, but look at some of the ungodly kings in Israel. What happened? They got moved out of the way. Either that or God used them for His glory. And how much more us born again children of Almighty God with the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess at that name. There's no other name that's been given among men where men shall be saved, delivered, healed. That's what the word saved means.
Yeah.
It's not just going to heaven and spending eternity with God. It's healing, it's deliverance, it's prosperity, it's doing well. That's prosperity.
Amen.
And it's because of the authority that's in the Word, the authority that's in the name. But we got to use it. Come on. I mean, if you were an athlete, and let's say a shot putter, if he took his arm and put it in a sling for about 3 or 4 weeks before he was going to compete, he would never win the competition. Why? Because that muscle would atrophy. No, athletes push it. I mean, up to the time that they're going to compete, they push it. Us Christians are not pushing it enough. What do you mean by that, Brother Larry? Well, I'm glad you asked. The more the Word that you have in you, the more ability that you have to be in the competition that God has put us in. But the real truth of the matter is we've already won. Come on now. I say we've already won. All we have to do is maintain what He did. He said it. It's finished. He said it's finished. So we take that place of authority. We're submitted to Him. What do I mean by that? We're submitted to the Father that submit. Well, actually, we're submitted to the Holy Spirit. That submitted to Jesus, that submitted to the authority, but then you submit to the place where God put you. And if this is your church, then he ought to be your pastor.
Amen.
Now, He's not going to tell you and interfere with your life unless you ask Him to. But there's a gift in there, and it's very valuable. There's a lot of wisdom in this man. He's lived life like you have. But he studies and he prays and he submitted to God. He's not without fault, but nobody is. I mean, we knew little things about Brother Hagin. He'd play card game. He'd play this game with the Ramah Singers and Band. And if he got to losing, he'd kick the table over and the game board. I don't know of any minister that doesn't have flesh. We all have to deal with this. We all have our little quirks. Now she doesn't, but
smart man.
How'd y'all get me off on all this? That wasn't nowhere in my notes at all. But anyway, submission and authority. You got to be submitted first before you can operate in the authority. The authority of the Word of God, the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, the authority is in the Word because it's written. It's not. It's plain and simple. God always says what He means and means what He says. And if we'll do what the Word says, it'll work for us. But then there's times that there's this kind of gray area. It's not necessarily in the Word, but we've got the Holy One on the inside. We've got the author of the Word of God on the inside. And the Bible says He'll lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. God knows our future better than we know our past. And if we'll just do all these things I've been talking about, submitting to Him and spending time with Him, He'll talk to us. I told my mama one time, I said, well, the Lord told me to do this. Oh, God, don't speak to nobody no more. Well, bless her heart, she just didn't know. But thank God she does now. She's in heaven.
She does now, yeah.
She does now. She's in heaven. Oh, I'm so thankful for the Word of God, the power, the authority that's in that Word. Submitting yourself to the Word of God. So, look, where was I before I got off on all those rabbit trails? I think I got off on about three or four of them. Let's go back in verse 8. Said the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But you know, that's really not a good statement or a good place for us. For us to say we're not worthy, we are worthy. I mean, if we are not worthy, then that means the blood of Jesus isn't worth it. We're worthy because He shed His precious holy blood on our behalf to cleanse away all the sin. And when we got born again, we have no past.
Amen. Thank God.
No past. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then, like I said, if we miss it, then we just go to the Father and say, you know, I goofed up. I messed up. I'm sorry, Father. I sinned. I ask your forgiveness, and I believe your word. He said He would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I ask God to forgive me. You ask God to forgive you, and then you forget about it.
Amen.
Because He does. If you go and try to remind Him of it, He'd say, well, I'm not sure that I know what you're talking about. Because the authority in the Word, He said, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so we're right back in a place of righteousness. See, you're either unrighteous or you're righteous. If you're unrighteous, you're a sinner. Jesus is not your Lord. But if Jesus is your Lord, you're righteous. You're in a place where the blood of Jesus has washed away all of your sins, and you have to act like a son and daughter of Almighty God. And walk in that authority in the name of Jesus and not let stuff happen. Come on now. You know, we want to blame the politicians, but really it falls back on us. I remember Dad said when they had Watergate that it was the church's fault. Jesus appeared to him and he said, it's the church's fault because they didn't do their job. He didn't just leave us here on earth to just walk through the dark blindly. He left us here on earth to have the authority and the dominion that Jesus gave us.
Amen.
And if stuff ain't right in our nation, in our state, in our county, we need to change it.
Amen.
We're the only ones that have the authority to change it. And you may not have to physically do anything. Get on your knees and use the name of Jesus. Use that wonderful ability that God has given us of praying in tongues and quoting His word, commanding things. Now look at this. For the centurion said, I am also a man under authority. Having soldiers under me, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it, and he marveled and said to those who followed, surely, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. In other words, as you have used your faith, as you have coupled that faith and authority together, your servant was healed that same hour.
Amen.
Our county, our city, our state can be changed because of our authority and because our faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
And us standing in the gap for those that were stupid like we were before we accepted Him.
Yes. Amen.
Or those that don't believe the way we believe. The centurion's faith called upon Jesus' authority and his servant was healed. Let's look at another example. We know the story of the lame man at the gate, beautiful, in Acts chapter 3. Let's pick up the story in verse 1. Acts 3:1. It said, now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. You know, that's a good habit.
Yeah.
Having a daily prayer time.
Amen.
Verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. What's that mean? He's never walked before. Was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. How would you like to be a beggar? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? You would be at everybody's mercy, laying there begging every day. Can't move. Has to be carried when he goes somewhere. I don't know what he had to do when he used the restroom, but probably crawl off or something. That would be an awful place. Let's look down at verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, and that doesn't mean they were poor. He just didn't happen to have any money at the time. But notice what he said. But what I do have, I give you. Amen. You know, I know I got something.
Amen.
I got something from God.
Amen.
Because I've been somewhat diligent with what God has given me and the place he's called me to. Like I said, I'm not perfect, but you're not either. If I point one finger at you, hey, I got three pointing back at me. But see, we got to know that because we're children of God, we got something.
Yes.
Well, those they were apostles, Brother Larry. Well, what did it say in Mark 16? These signs will follow the apostles?
No.
The mighty anointed men and women of God? No. Just the supernatural believers. He said, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Notice Peter didn't say and get out on his knees and say, oh God, you see this man in this awful position, and I just pray right now that you do something about it. Now, why did Peter not do that? I'll tell you why. Because he understood his place in the body. He understood the authority that's in the name of Jesus, and he acted on it. Faith always does two things. Speaks and acts. He spoke and he acted. He commanded in Jesus' name. We just accidentally learn how to do this. We keep our mics on when we minister to people. We're not ever asking God to do something because Jesus has already done it.
Amen.
We command it, or we talk about the anointing that's flowing in them. Oh, I almost fell off there. See, I almost made a mistake right here in front of everybody.
Slide that back.
Ooh, no, that's okay. I might. Notice what I'm going to read this to you, verse 6, out of the Passion Translation. It said, then Peter said, I do not have money, but I give you this by the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stand and walk.
Amen.
Well, who do you think you are, Peter? I'm a son of the Most High God. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and he gave me authority. That's why I can say, get up from there. Stand and walk. What did he do? He used the faith to activate the authority that Jesus had given each and every one of us.
Amen.
See, you may know you have authority, but it takes faith to act on it. You know, sometimes we encounter people with awful things. And sometimes in my head I'm thinking, oh God, you got to do something here. And I say, no, in Jesus' name. We were just at a church in Cedar Rapids, and this guy was on the worship team, and I noticed that he had a coat draped over one arm there. And we got through Angela got through ministering, and she taught on creative miracles, and it just got all over me. It just aggravated me that guy, I didn't want to embarrass him, but I said, sir, I don't want to embarrass you, but What's wrong with you? And he pulled back his coat, and he's got a little bitty old hand on his shoulder. You couldn't see it for his coat. He said, I was born this way. I grabbed hold of that thing and started speaking to it, and I highly expected something to happen. Now, nothing did, but that's not going to stop me.
Amen.
You know, what do I do, Brother Larry, if I pray for somebody and nothing happens? Next.
Amen.
I don't understand everything, but I do know nothing will happen if I don't do something.
Right.
Nothing will happen if you don't do something.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
What is it somebody said about good men? Nothing will ever happen unless good men do something. Is that what it is?
The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing.
Yeah. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. For God men to do nothing.
Yeah.
See, God's on the inside of us. Know you not that you're the body, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're the body of Christ and members in particular. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You think there's anything different in the vine that's in the branches? No, the same power that came out of the vine comes out of us.
Amen.
The spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. It's not a lesser spirit, just like I talked Sunday. We don't have a lesser faith. It's the same spirit of faith.
Amen.
Same authority. But we just got to exercise it like Peter did. He says, I don't have what you want, but I got something better. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And we saw a miracle. And if you don't approach people in the name of Jesus and command things to happen, you're never going to see anything. I mean, just think about somebody. You see somebody. I mean, you don't even have to have the Spirit of God to prompt you. It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. I mean, if you just go to someone and ask them, could I pray for you? And just say what God tells you to say. He'll show you. He'll speak through you. You use, my. I'm telling you, there's so much more that we're missing out on behalf of others. Like I said Sunday, thank God he's given us the opportunity to learn how to use our faith on behalf of ourselves, but let's quit being so selfish with the faith he's given us. It will work a whole lot in a wider sphere than we attempt or allow it to. Verse 7. He took him by the right hand. Okay. First, he says, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, this is my opinion. If I'm wrong, Pastor David will straighten me out. I believe the gifts of the Spirit started operating. Then he said, but see, he took the first step in faith, in his authority, and now the Holy Spirit is coming on the scene. And given supernatural instruction. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and he just barely wobbled along. I hate those movies that show this. You ever seen the book of Acts? They get this guy, and he just left. Read the Bible, folks. I mean, if you're going to portray the Bible, at least write it the way the Bible says it. Immediately. His feet and ankle. This guy had never walked. We're talking about he got an instant miracle. His muscles were completely restored instantaneously. Immediately, his feet and ankles bones received strength. And he was what? They had to carry him out until his legs got strong enough. No. Leaping, he stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. At least he had enough sense to give who the glory where glory was due. He didn't begin to bow down to Peter and John and begin to worship them. He gave glory to God. Here's the key. Verse 16. Peter's talking, he says, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. They knew this guy. I mean, those that went to the temple on a fairly regular basis, this guy was part of the scenery. Walked past him hundreds of times, probably. He said, yes. The faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. My. And then they get called on the carpet. The religious made the religious people mad. You know why religious people get mad when there's healings and miracles? Because they can't produce the same results. You can't argue with a miracle. Come on now. The religious people can't argue with a miracle. The only thing they can try to do is shut them up and tell them not to preach or teach anymore in that name. Because they knew if they use that name, it's over. We're exposed. We need to be showing up the rest of the body and make them jealous. In love. Come on, in love. Well, you just never know what God will do. I know what God will do. Here, let me show you. It's right here. Napisane jest. That's Polish. It's written. Let me read this to you, verse 16 out of the Passion Translation. Faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in Jesus, the name that has made the crippled man walk right in front of your eyes. Woo! Boy, that'll put a pep in your step. Peter affirmed the authority of Jesus' name. And then he does it again in Acts 4:10. Let it be known to all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, he's throwing it right back in their face. Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And there's nothing you can do about it. I just added that part. We can use our God-given authority on behalf of others. I told the story about Mirka, our landlady. Mark 16 says, believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We found out she was in the hospital with cancer. We went. Her unbelieving, ungodly, atheist husband allowed us to go to the hospital. We read Mark 16, 15 to the end of the chapter. And she said, I don't believe. And we said, you don't have to believe. All we need is your permission. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. I can't remember exactly what we said. But today, as far as we know, she's still alive. Because she gave us the permission to use the authority in the name of Jesus, and it took faith to go and do that. I mean, they're our landlords. They lived up above us. We had to live with them. Yeah, no, they didn't. And I'm not boasting in us. I'm boasting in the power of the word and the power of the name.
Yes,
but if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, you never lose it, but you lose the effects of it. And just like muscles, or just like playing the guitar or singing or anything we do, the more you do something, the better you get at it. Right? I mean, you didn't pick up that guitar yesterday and start playing like you play now, did you? Took years of practice. We were holding a meeting for Pastor Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Jr. And I was a head usher, and we had offered my pastor, Pastor Scott Webb. He used to preach a camp meeting on faith every year for many, many years. So I'm in his church. I got into his church right after I got saved, and I'd submitted myself to him. I was a head usher, and I was a youth leader. Anyway, there's this man came, and he said, I've got a demon. And so they decided they were going to do something about it. Pastor Ken said, you told some guys to handle that. Well, the guy that was the associate pastor in our church, and there was another pastor from the other city, and then I was there. And they set this guy down in the chair, and they were doing all kinds of stuff. And this guy was growling and spitting up stuff. And nothing. But, you know, here I am. I'm just a head usher. I've got my associate pastor and a pastor of another church there. I didn't feel that I had the authority to do anything. And Pastor Ken saw what was going on. He said, Scott, go over and take care of that. Now, my pastor had been a policeman, so he somewhat knew about authority. He goes over there, that guy, and he pokes him in the chest, and he said, come out of him in the name of Jesus and shut up. And all of a sudden, this guy blinked, and he was totally free. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of these other two ministers, but, you know, my pastor knew his authority, and he had been a given authority over the man that was authority in the meeting, and he had had the authority from the Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus sent him there to have that meeting. It was in a ballroom at one of the hotels. They were there two or three nights. My, the authority that we miss out on by not using the faith that Jesus has given us to operate in that authority. We don't have to put up with stuff. We should not be afraid of anything.
Amen.
Let me read this to you. And I'm getting real close to finishing here. But y'all know what that means when a preacher says it. Now, in this situation, this is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in Matthew 28. Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Passion Translation, I read this Sunday. It says it this way, and it's so much clearer. It says in verse 18, Jesus came close to them and said, all authority in the universe, not just here on earth, all authority in the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority. See, we're not going in our own ability, our own authority, our own faith. We have the same spirit of faith that he had. Because everything he did, he got directions from the Father and authority from the Father to do it. And he did it. And thank God he did. And all hell has to bow its knee now because of what he did. Just think about this. Jesus paid the great price, and he's down in the pits of hell paying the price for your sins and my sins and all ungodly stuff that happened up until that point and all the ungodly stuff that happened until this point. And he's down there, and then the Father says, okay, that's enough. Go down there and get him, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he went down there. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus up out of hell, and he brought back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that same Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Glory be to God. So we not only got the Word working for us, we not only got the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus working for us, we've got the one that wrote all of this on the inside of us. And not only on the inside of us, there's times he'll come on us. I mean, he's working inside and out. How could we fail? By doing nothing.
Right.
You know, have you ever seen a sick person or a hurt person? You're out and about, whatever you're doing in your workplace, at a restaurant, or wherever, and on the inside, you want to go do something and use this authority and this faith that God's used you, but you don't. Now, I'm not pointing a finger. This happens to me, too. Happens to all of us. We let our stinking thinking and what people will think about us if we step out and act like sons and daughters of Almighty God. What would happen if we just act like our big brother and go speak to something and tell it to stop manifesting in this person's body or command that person to be healed? What would happen? Like I said Sunday, the empty chairs, it's not the pastor's responsibility, it's yours. Because you've been taught. I mean, this is not nothing new for you. You've heard this. It came out in a different way from a different gift. But he said the same things over and over and over. It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. And I don't mean to be mean about it. But come on, church. Are we the sons of God or not? Have we got this power or not? Is the word of God true or not? Is the name of God, the name of Jesus, more powerful than what's happening in people's lives? My God, he grabbed me by the shoulders last night and just shook me till my teeth rattled. See, it's just a difference in the gifts. Now, if I was a pastor, I'd probably be a little more sweeter, but I'm not. Verse 19, the Passion Translation, "Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit." And I'm getting real close here. Matthew 16, 19. This also can be found in Matthew 18, 6. Matthew 16, 19. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Has he done that? Yeah. What are keys for? Anybody got any keys in here? That's all right. I got it. I could take this, and this is my car now. But I would take it because the pastor didn't give it to me. Yet, no, I'm just joking. And these are keys, probably to important parts. What do? They lock things up, and they open things. We have the keys of the kingdom. More important than those keys. That's just the keys to the car and to parts of the building, maybe his home. He said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Where is the authority acted upon? Here. So when we act upon it here, what happens elsewhere? Heaven backs it up. But heaven can't back up nothing.
Right.
Come on. We've got to be the responders. We got to be the first responders. We respond, and it's in the Word. We're submitting ourselves to the Word. We respond to the Word, and God backs it up. What if nothing happens? Next. But we'll never see anything happen unless we act. Unless we use the faith and the authority in the name of Jesus. We are the ones that have to initiate it. We don't have to have God to tell us because He already told us. Come on. Now there will be times the Holy Spirit will initiate something. Maybe we're not paying attention. And all of a sudden He gets our attention on somebody's behalf. And says, "You go do this, say this, do that." But I mean, we don't have to have the Holy Spirit to tell us. The Holy Spirit already told us. It's written. He's already given us our marching orders. He's already given us the authority. He's already commanded us. This is not a request. Hello? This is not a request. It's a command. Sometimes I feel bad the way things come out, but I'm not sorry. Amplified. Well, he just beat the fire out of me. Pastor, don't never let them guys come back here again. Amplified says, it's the same verse, Matthew 16, 19. "I will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven, And whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Wow. Already. God's just waiting on us. Some people say, I'm waiting on God. Well, we should wait on God. We should pray. We should spend time in His presence. But concerning this stuff, He told us, we've already got the green light.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? Because you get a guy like this lame man healed, and he's going to want to come here. Come on. Say, where did you learn all this from? Well, I've got a pastor that preaches the Word of God, and you can learn this stuff just like I did.
Amen.
I'm going to read one more scripture, and I'll close. I'll quit. I'll put the whip up. Jesus sends out the 12. Now, in Matthew, we were looking at the situation after his death, burial, and resurrection. Here, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. He had not died and paid up for our sins. He had not gone to hell and been resurrected. These men were not born again. So he says in Matthew 10:5. You can also find this in Mark 6, verse 7 through 13. And Luke 9, 1 through 6. But Matthew 10:5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. What did he do? He commanded them. He didn't say, well, it'd be nice, or it would be pleasing to me if you do it. It'd be nice. He commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. And if it was here then, it's here now. Heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. Now, you know, sometimes in meetings, God will do miraculous thing, and people want to come to us and say, thank you for healing me. Well, in a sense, we did, but in a sense, we didn't. All we did was place ourselves in the place that the blood of Jesus has provided for us and use the faith and authority that He gave us. We're just a mediator. You know, if you had a dead battery and somebody came and connected jumper cables to you and jumped you off, you wouldn't be praising the jumper cables, would you?
No.
We're just jumper cables.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
All we are.
Yeah.
So don't get the big head when God starts using you. Amen?
Right.
You know, we appreciate when people come and give us testimonies and stuff, and we're thankful for what God did, but we didn't do nothing. All we did was what He asked us to do. Brother Hagin told us one time, he said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to help you. He said, the most thing that I have to deal with is pride. And it shocked me because he was one of the most humble men that I believe I've ever encountered. He would never take the glory. And he had God use him awesome things. And if any minister is worth his salt, He'll tell you the same thing. It's just God. You know, I'm just doing what God told me to do. You can't take the glory if you see God do something through you. And you should be seeing God do something through you. I got one amen for that. I said, you should be seeing God do something through you. Verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Have we freely received the gift of salvation? Have we freely received the precious Word of God? The holy written Word of God? Have we freely received the name of Jesus and the power that's in that name? My goodness, how could we not do what we've been talking about Sunday morning and tonight? Basically, I was focusing it all the same direction. Get up off your good intentions and start seeing people get healed and bring them in here where they can be taught by your pastor. That is the pattern of the church. That is church growth 101. That's the way it's supposed to work. He's the authority. You submit to him, but he submitted to the word and to the name of Jesus. He's not going to tell you to do anything that's going to hurt you. If he does, it's going to be accidentally. He'll be making a mistake just like all of us do on a fairly regular basis. You know, we can't make our people do. God won't make me do what I'm preaching.
Right.
He won't make me, but it pleases him when I do.
Right.
And people benefit from it.
Right.
And I'm not patting myself on the back. Man, if I told you how many times I missed it, you probably wouldn't want to hear me. But this works for everybody. This works for everybody. It's the same spirit of faith. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same name of Jesus. All we have to do is take advantage of the keys and all the stuff that he's made ready available to us.
Amen. Amen.
Act like sons and daughters of Almighty God.
Amen.
And help other people.
Praise God.
Helping other people. Getting the devil off of people's backs, out of their bodies, out of their minds. Praying. I mean, there's just so much we can do. You've taken the time to submit yourself to him and do all the things that he's asked you to do. So it's time to take a step up. It's time to take a step up. And those things that have been holding you back, those things that have stood in your way, they've been broken off of you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the next step for Pastor David.
Thank you.
Thank you. He has submitted himself. Father, he's not perfect and you know it, but he submitted himself to what you've called him to do, and he's not allowed any distractions to hold him back. There's been temporary periods where things slowed up a little bit, but it's time for him to take the next step. It's time for acceleration to come for him, his family, this ministry. Father, and we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you've worked with him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank
and
you.
You'll continue to work with him. And we just thank you, Father, that next time we'll see the evidence of that. That which
God.
He's done,
praise
that which
God.
You've called him to.
Praise God.
And we thank you for great change.
Praise
great
God.
Change. Not thank only God. For him. See, because this is not just for him,
right.
Because he's the head over this house. It's for you also.
Yeah.
You might say, well, I wish Brother Laird said that to me. I'm saying it to you. Because what happens to him will be passed down.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like the oil from Aaron's beard.
Yeah.
You know, everything is passed down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
amen,
Lord.
Amen.
Did you have anything
amen.
To add to that, baby? Thank you, thank you,
praise
thank
God.
You.